Be seated. It is a joy to be back at Welcome Baptist Church. I was trying to think the other day how many years it has been. I guess we got acquainted with Brother Jeff Shue somehow and been coming to the meeting ever since. Bible I'm preaching out of. The date in it's 2/16/10. And Brother Sammy Allen gave me this Bible right here in this meeting. So I know it's way back past 2010 that I've been coming to this meeting every year.
Praise be unto God to things you don't think. There's things that are written on them after the birthday thing. Yes. With the wrath of God, you have life. It's all death. Vision, see the hand of God in God's hands. But as we gaze around, we know that this did just happen. In the beginning, God gave. Now, we don't go out here and touch a tree, go out here and sit under the tent, say, I feel so soft. But we can look and understand and gain to the creation that my God. And that's what he's talking about. He is not talking about the free loving, hippie looking generation that believes you don't have to go to church. You get out there on the fishing bank and you fish and everything's all right. And you meet God out there in your boat. This Bible says not taking myself together. As far as I know, God does not, in the Word of God, meet with things that are contrary to His Word. We don't hug trees, but we know God created the tree. We don't love the grass, but we understand God created the grass. And so the reality is, man in his conscience knows that this just did not happen. Their fine designs, God created all that we see. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Now, if you don't believe that verse, let me say to you, you tune into Newsmax, you listen for a little while at this liberal crowd, and by the way, the Democrats, you'll find out that they are not wise, but they have literally changed the things that are good, the things that are righteous, the things that are holy, into that which is not of God. But I want to tell you something. Right is still right. They look at us and say, well, you've gone off the deep end. Something's wrong with you. No, something's wrong with people that go contrary to the Word of God. And they profess themselves to be wise. They become fools. Now they look at you and I today and they say, well, what's the problem with those people today? They're uneducated. They just don't understand. They're just not with it. I was listening to a thing the other day. It's amazing. It's amazing that kids can go to school, get out of high school in their 20s that do not know common things. They were interviewing this girl in her 20s, and they began to ask her about the nation of Japan. Now, I don't know that much about Japan, but I do know a little bit about Japan. I'm not a scholar on Japan, but I do know what happened in 1941. And these people have heard and heard and heard so much that the United States is an aggressor. The United States is bad. The United States is evil. And made this statement, Japan got into World War II because the United States went over there and bombed Japan. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed, notice this, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Notice they changed. And by the way, they have tried to change God. They have come around. They have tried to change everything concerning that which is good, holy, and righteous. I want to give you some things today on some things that do not change. Number one, man does not change. Now you say, well, preacher, surely he does. No, no, no. The Bible says the heart of a man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. That the imaginations of his thoughts are only evil continually. You know what the problem with this world is today? Is men. You and I today, we could not change ourselves. We've got every kind of program. We've got society comes along and they say, all you got to do is pull him up by his bootstraps. All you got to do is give him a little bit of push and he'll make something out of himself. He'll do all right as long as we put them into a program. Let me say to you, you can put a man in all kind of programs. He can go to Alcoholics Anonymous. He can go to drug rehab. He can join Reformers Unanimous. And I want to tell you something. Until there is a regeneration, until he is born of the Heavenly Father, born through the blood of Jesus Christ, he will not change. The problem with the world today is that they are corrupted in their actions, their deeds, their thoughts. Everything about them is corrupted. I want you turning your Bibles over to 2 Timothy with me real quick. I preached from this text several weeks ago on a Sunday night. And you know, God spoke to me about where we are today. Have you ever just stopped and pondered and looked at the heart, the action, and the deeds of men? We're living in a world of chaos today. We're living in a world with troubles and problems and all kind of chaos. And by the way, it's not Donald Trump. Am I preaching Democrats? I said it's not Donald Trump. All right, I'll make sure, brother. I thought y'all done got off the other end. You know where the problem is, man? The wickedness of man, the attitude of man, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Listen to this. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Brethren, we're there. That's the day in which you and I are living in. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, you don't see that today, do you? Surely none of that's going on. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedience to parents. I was at a grocery store one day, and this child, I mean just out of hand, out of control. And you know how Mama handled it? Sweetheart, if you'll calm down, Mama will buy you this. Boy, ain't that where we are today? Children are not. I'm old school. Can't help that. I was brought up this way, and it's just how I am. I believe in respect to parents. I believe in respect to authority. If I get pulled over by the police, of course, I wasn't doing nothing wrong. If I get pulled over by the police, a young kid, and by the way, that's what they are now, 20-year-olds, come up to my car, you know what I'm going to say? Yes, sir. If it's a female officer, I'm going to say, yes, ma'am. Absolutely. I'm not going to do like Brother Rogers said, go get your husband. You can write me a ticket. No. It's yes, ma'am. Why? Authority. Authority. Amen. Hey, we're in the yeah and hon generation. No. Boy, my little grandson, he's 7 years old. And he's all country. I mean, 100%. He's got a Georgian accent. He just talks country. He picked up this phrase. And anytime he around other boys, he'll say this. Bruh. He's seven. He'll talk to him and say, bruh, let's go over here and do this. Bruh, let's do this. He bruh me one time. He said, bruh. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, I'm not your bruh. He said, okay, Paul. But we live in a generation where there's no respect anymore. People are not thankful for what they have. Hey, I want to tell you, this crowd running around here today, they're drawing, and I'm not talking about Social Security. Praise God, if you draw your Social Security, you're old enough. Hallelujah, amen, that's your money. Thank God for it. You paid it in. That is your money. But this crowd out here drawing a government check that don't work, don't want to work, could work if they could get a job, they're drawing food stamps. And they curse this nation. Something's wrong. Where we're at, that's where we're at. That's the unholiness of men. They're not changing without natural affection. Well, we park there a while. You say, what do you mean? Mama's not loving their children. I don't know how many articles I ever read where a mother throw a baby in a garbage can. God help us. Who would ever dream we would ever get like that? Why is that? Man never change. If we've got abortion by numbers, and by the way, they're doing everything to stop it, but it's still going on. But babies are being murdered. Men with men, the Bible says, working that which is unseemly. You've got women with women, and people step back and say, that's okay. Your problem is you won't pretend with me. Well, I want to tell you, that's an abomination to God. Without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers. Boy, we got those Congress people telling people you don't have to obey orders given to you in the military. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce. Boy, have you ever seen the marching that's going on in our cities? The wickedness and the ungodliness. Why? The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. It's not going to change in society. It's going to stay the same. Look what he said. False accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Boy, you fit that category, wouldn't you? Oh, I tell you. I honestly, I don't know what place to say.
I declare they'll change that. Don't.
Are we not there? How do we get here? Man's heart cannot change. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than the lover of God. Preacher, I'd go to church, but boy, I sure love going to the beach on Sunday. I do this, but I love this more than any. That's lover of pleasure. That's the generation we've got today. And by the way, how about such?
Yeah, nobody here. Nobody here. Nobody here.
Great.
Nobody here has started doing deep work, change. The only one thing that changes the man is that's the gospel. Thanks to the uncomprehended. Preacher, I listen to this other guy. He's got the big crowd. And it's not going to change. Hey, the Bible does not change. It's not what you think or what I think. It's what God says that makes a difference. This book's not going to change. Oh, I had a total. I'd have forgotten like 278 translations in the English language of God's Word. That's a lot. The NIV came along in the 1960s and they said, we got it. It's the best that there ever is. You're not going to need nothing else. You know how many times that thing's been revised? You want to know why? Because it's not perfect. It's not a living book. It's not inspired of God. Let me say to you, this is the only book inspired of God. And if you need direction on which one, I'm a King James 16:11. I'll be that to the day I die. I don't need an RSV. I don't need to study out of New American Standard. I don't need to study out of the American. Oh, preacher, it'll broaden your mind. I thought that was the work of the Holy Spirit. That's supposed to enlighten our mind. Listen, if I got to have Dr. Doolittle and enlighten my mind, it's not of God. But if I get in this book with the help of the Holy Spirit, He's the one that gives light in darkness. And I say, Lord, I don't understand something. It won't be very long. You know, He's got a divine timeline. That boy, when you're reading that verse and you've read it and you've read it and you've read it, I'm not talking about it getting old, but I'm talking about you've gone over it, you've gone over it, you pondered it, you worked at it. Then all of a sudden, by the grace of God, that light, that verse looks like it's got a light on it. And the Lord said, that's what I've been trying. This is the only book. It's a living book. Oh, the Word of God is quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. And I like how he finished, which liveth. That's inspiration. God breathed all scripture that came by inspiration of God. We've got a holy book that's given by inspiration. And the Bible says it's a living book, but it's also a summer. You know how you've got your Bible in your hands today? God said so. He had people all throughout the centuries risk and hazard their lives to keep this book going. Oh, sometimes it got where there was only a few copies. But I have a copy today. You know, God has blessed us with our King James Bible. You can go by any store that sells any kind of publications or printed material, and you can get a Bible. You can go to the Dollar Tree and get a Bible. We were in Florida, and somehow I left my Bible. I got multiple Bibles at home. Left my Bible. You say, well, preacher, I've never done that. Well, preacher, I did. We're going to a church. I'm a preacher going to a church. Without a Bible. You know what it is? Well, there's a Dollar Tree. Went in there, I think they're $1.29 now. Maybe done gone up. They ought to change that to a dollar plus tree. Went in there, bought me a Bible. I couldn't read it. The print was so small, but I had a Bible. Oh, listen, there's not another book like this book. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth. And my Bible says forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. We are birthed into the family of God by this book. Oh, listen. We got preachers five that's rolled now.
churches changing. They're changing their stance on the Word of God. Got a church one time, and I seen the book. I was at a bookstore, and the book was this: The Gospel According to the Antichrist. Now, any of y'all that watched the Andy Griffin Show ever heard the gospel? To be quite honest with you, I'm not going to dogmatically say this. You can probably straighten me out if you're a Barney Fife fan or something like that. Have you ever heard the name Jesus Christ ever mentioned? Whenever they go to church, he's got his collar on backwards. The gospel. Or Andy Griffin. Boy, hadn't they changed? I tell you, the day we're living in, we see it. They changing the Word of God. If one church had awful and funny, I've never seen Narnia. I don't know what Narnia is. I have no clue. I know it's got something to do with a lion because I've seen a picture of it. Playing still of Narnia. Sunday morning, so. Oh, bring a little nest along with it. SpongeBob. Square paint. That's what's going on in churches. My Bible has not changed. Yeah. As far as I know, I hadn't seen Andy Griffith. Joe ain't seen SpongeBob and square paint. Ain't no Narnia. Mel Gibson. I'm not going to condemn you if you went and saw it. I mean, death for sale. But I remember when it came out. Preacher. Out of my church. I got some of my members here today. Unless they can run me out the door, they're not going to show it there. My crowd better say amen to that. I mean, we're not going to have it. Oh, but it was real. That man's a Roman Catholic. He made a statement that his own wife, being a Protestant, would not make it to heaven because she is not part of the church. Now, if you watched it, you enjoyed it, I mean, you help yourself. But I want to say, I'd rather read Isaiah 53 over that any day. I'd rather read John chapter number 19 about the crucifixion of my Lord and Savior. I want to tell you, when we got to turn to Mel Gibson, to get us excited about Jesus, something's wrong. This book does not change. If you've got anything other than a King James, just throw it away. Get rid of it. You say, what's wrong with it? Well, one thing, it takes the blood of my Savior out. One thing, it takes the reality of hell. It also takes out one gospel account, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you read Colossians chapter 1, I believe it's verse number 14, that through his blood is taken out. Listen, my Bible never changes. It's the same. Let me give you something else. The Word of God never changes. But our warfare never changes. Folks, we've been fighting the same enemy ever since Genesis chapter number 3. We're fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have the same weapon that has not changed. Jesus gave us the illustration that through the Word of God, that's our defense. Jesus quoted the devil 3 times, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Listen, the weapons of our warfare are not hard, but are mighty to the bringing down of strongholds. We still have Ephesians chapter number 6. We still have the sword of the Spirit. Well, we have verse number 18. I don't know why we cut the armor off when we get to the sword of the Spirit, but that verse says, praying, praying, praying. We've got the greatest battle in front of us, but I want to say we got the least amount of praying that's going on. God's people need to pray. Pray. And let me add this. Roger Butler's not my enemy. Boy, preachers get around and you think, they're fighting one another. Listen, as long as you're doctrinally sound, I can go with you. Now, if you're getting off the book, I may have to break fellowship. But listen, I come from an old school generation. You know about the, we come up through, man, if a man, I'm a fool. Maybe preacher. If you sprayed your hair with hairspray, how wicked can you be? I'm wicked today, and I went and got a new pair yesterday. Do you know why all Tom Malone, Harold Seitler, preachers of Olive E. Green, other than those old preachers? You ever wonder why they all wore black plastic frame glasses? Because they preach against wire-rimmed glasses on Sunday. I come from the generation, if you wore any other color shirt than the white shirt, I'm pagan today. I wore a gray one. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. We can disagree on a lot of things. You don't want to put hairspray in your hair, you help yourself. Matter of fact, when I was coming along, y'all remember old Vitality? Yeah, boy, that was a spiritual hair on it that day. Vitality. But listen, I'm talking about not things that are doctrine, but the brethren, not the enemy. There's more complaining, backbiting, fighting among churchmen in the day we're living in. And it hadn't all been. It hadn't all been. Listen, we got three enemies. And I want to tell you, one of the greatest tools he's got is to get between you and another believer and be at odds one with another. All right, that can destroy you, Steve. That can destroy you.
There's
a lot of things I think that's bad. We have to. Now, see if the church came to a phone book, and they put their phone free. How about out here? They aren't dated. Chances are you got to know me you didn't like. Came to our church, you find something, and you say, well, preacher, I don't like. Well, that's what life is. But I'm not out here to go invite this church because I remember that. And I got called up in all that. Come from a generation where papered hair chips. Couldn't go to Bible talk. just preaching. Stop preaching. You can't go to the church. You stand with it. And last fall, I spent. Go, sir. That had changed. By the sins, I will make you fish your hands. My Bible says, go out from shallow things. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. As a matter of fact, sometimes when we go out and find out that the worst schedule of eating is so messed up today, that's no longer to come at all. And it's hard. But you know, when we can do it, we can tell somebody about the love. You can give the gospel wherever you are. That method has not changed one bit. And it's not.
Oh, we got to have new ways, new things. Now, I'm not against having activity. Activity's wonderful. Activity's good. Activities are fine. I mean, if you have a Saturday thing, and you have popcorn, cotton candy, and all those other things, and you have hot dogs, and you have a Dunkin' booth, and you want to reach your community for Christ. I had a preacher friend of mine just the other week had a kind of like a welcome in the community for community people to come to their church, and they kind of had like a small, like little fair out and put it together. People would come and get the gospel. I mean, that's what, if you can do that, praise God for that. But listen, let's not get away from preaching. Let's not get away from telling the sinners, and then praise God, it's blood and it's not. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sin. Now, you preach blood, and I'll stand with you. Your church stands and preaches and proclaims the glorious gospel of Christ, I'll stand with you. You want to go off on this Calvinism? I say, I can't go with you. I want to tell you, there's only one way to be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. There's no other way, no other name. There's no other way that would be saved out by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's still cleansing. It's still cleansing. For preacher, we got to get with the modern Christ. No, we just keep preaching the blood. Well, we've got to have this and that. I've seen them over across town. And boy, they've got rope wires. And they've got all this. And they brought in this one and that one. They brought in a big game guy. I want to tell you. Willie Robertson, I don't know his testimony fully. I've heard it. It appears the old boys say. But I want to tell you, that Church of Christ man will never be in my pulpit. If he came and visited our church, I say, praise the Lord. I say, that's old Willie Robertson right there. But he's not going to preach in my pulpit. I'm not going to hire a big name guy. Because you know what will happen next time? You got to hire an even bigger name. And then you got to get a bigger name guy. And before you know it, you're out of money and your church is still doing what you love. But you get facts, even the blood. That it's preaching the blood, Jesus Christ, that saves the sinner. I don't know about you, but that's how I got in. Thanks be unto God, somebody preached the blood. Somebody told me about the saving grace of God. And I'm born again, washed in the blood. We don't need to change anything. We just need to say what we got. Say what God has here. 47 years I've been saved. Well, it will be this coming August. 47 years ago, this coming October, I preached my first message. I figured it up, told my church, I forgot all about this. You know, I preached a whole year while our former pastor was on deputation, and so I filled in the pulpit for a whole year. And we got to looking at our church records, going back through them, and I looked. Our former pastor joined another church May of 1991. Now, I have preached the whole year before that. I preached the whole month of May, and June the 23rd, they voted me in as pastor. I've been pastor there for 35 years this coming June. Been preaching in that same church for 36. A lady went through and got my sermons. Now I've got them in nice, neat, organized books. I'll tell you how we preachers took care of them. I have them in tote. Stacked on top of each other. Listen, they've heard about everything I could preach. And they still come today, want some more. Hey, don't get away from the blood. Stay with him. It'll work. Father, thank you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth of the scriptures. Thank you, Lord, that our Savior does not change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, you're not changing. Your plans and ideas and the way to do it's not changing. The scripture's not changing. Lord, help us not to change to fit popularity. Help us not to change to fit in. But Lord, help us to keep fighting the fight. Lord, help us to keep on keeping on. To stand where we stand on the truth of the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.